The sermon is Biblical Marriage Part 2. Okay, Biblical Marriage Part 2, and like any sermon, it's supposed to have a theme. That's any public speaking, really. It's supposed to have a theme, and a theme. And by the way, if you're not married, the things we're going to talk about still, some of the things you still apply when it comes to submission. And so the more I've studied these verses in that whole, you know, I realize how much we really are supposed to submit ultimately to God, you know. And it's really been convicting, just, you know, especially most of us being raised in the South, we tend to want to, you know, put our hand, like I said 2 weeks ago, we want to do this when we have a problem, what we need to do is this. And I think that goes back to trusting God. This means we trust us. This means we trust God. But the text, once again, we're going through how to have a biblical marriage. And by the way, this is important. Because the devil is destroying the marriage and destroying the home. And no matter where you're at in your life, it's not a slam. God meant for one man, one woman to be married for life. That's how, and I know, and once again, things happen, and that's okay. But that's how God intended it. So we need to look at that, and the world will tell us how to do marriage. By the way, they're not doing a good job at it. And by fact, the church not doing a good job either, because we're not preaching. We're not going to what the Bible says. See, God knows better than you know. And so, basically, how to have a biblical marriage. Well, last week, I'll go ahead and review here. You know, last week, I talked about, number one, understand the structure of marriage. Here are the details. The husband is to lead. The wife is to follow. Now, it's not popular, but that's the truth. Like I said, there's only one chief. You know, that's the thing. There's too many chiefs, not enough Indians. Okay? And when one husband's to lead, the wife is to follow. But here's the desires. And a wife wants to be loved, and a husband wants to be respected. And I get that from Ephesians 5:33, and I'm going to read it in the ESV. And it says, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let his wife see that she respects her husband. And I talked to you about that book, Love and Respect, that a husband, his number one thing is that he don't care about being loved. And much he cares about being respected. Okay? And we talk all about that. And so that was the structure of marriage. By the way, it goes hand in hand. Because a husband submits because he loves. And a wife submits because she respects. So it kind of goes, the Bible works together. Okay? So anyway. But number two, let's go to the second thing. What we looked at is the submission of marriage. And last week, we looked at letter A. The submission of the wife. Okay? And I think the next slide, go to the next slide real quick. Okay, the submission of the wife. This is what we talked about last week. And we talked about for a wife to submit, she has to receive the instruction. And the instruction, that is a command for a wife to submit to the husband's command. Number two, to realize the compensation. The compensation is number one. When a wife submits, she aids in the husband's spiritual growth. But number two, the compensation is that a woman who submits is truly beautiful, first of all, to God, but also to a man. I said the ugliest thing you will ever find, we've talked about in a man's world. You know, you got 5 or 6 men around, and some wife walks out and, you know, tells her husband how what's going to happen. And he embarrasses his husband. Everybody, no matter how good looking she is, every man there, when she walks away and says, I'm glad I'm not married to her, what they're saying is that being an unsubmissive wife is unattractive to a man. Bottom line, you can say what you want to, but that's what it is. That's why some of you see good-looking men who divorce good-looking women. Why? Because they're not beautiful. Because a lack of submission it makes a woman truly beautiful and ultimately to God. Because that's what it says there. But then number three, reflect on the illustration. And we had Sarah there, and she called Abraham, I think it was Lord, and not the ideal here. Now, when you look at other examples of how they followed. So, and I talked all about that. But, this week, I want to look at letter B. It's the submission of the husband. So, basically, all we're doing is continuing a really big sermon, okay? But most people don't want to listen to me for 30 minutes, let alone an hour. So, that's why we broke it down. But we're going to look at verse 7. Let's read verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wine and to weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Let's pray. Father, I do ask for the next few moments that you'll use to us and teach us, Father, Lord, the society is just saying the opposite. And I'm afraid that the church is swallowing their lives hook, line, and sinker. And Lord, it's destroying the family and the churches. And I ask you, Lord, to help us to learn more today about submission, and in particular to the husband, and how we are supposed to submit. And Lord, help us to learn and grow today. In Christ's name, amen. Right here, we see in verse 7, and it says, likewise, ye husbands. Right here, we see that Peter goes from addressing the wife to the husband. Now, you may ask, I said this last week, why did he spend 6 verses on the wife and 1 verse on the husband? Most likely context. In that culture, they would have been very few husbands who were saved whose wife wasn't saved. And that's because what happened, the man, basically what the man did, what the wife did. But there were some wives who had unsaved husbands. And so most likely there were a lot of wives in the church who had unsaved husbands, most likely. But he still addresses the husband. And so, this morning, I want to look at that. Now, there's a book that I read. It's called Women Are Like Spaghetti, Men Are Like Waffles, okay? And I talked about it last night to my mom and my aunt. By the way, my aunt's here as well. Her youngest sister, Aunt Sally, came last time. This is the other one, okay? So, they all tried to keep an eye on me, so. But basically, women are like spaghetti noodle. That means everything touches. That means that's why you can go talk, you can be grocery shopping, talk about grocery, and then be talking about, someone dying. Because everything connects to everything. Men are like waffles, this book said, and that we have boxes. We're in one box at a time. And so that's why a lot of times when women begin to talk, men are like, what are you doing? I don't understand. Because a woman naturally, when she talks, opens about 20 boxes at one time. And a man can't understand it. That's why they say, just be quiet. I don't know what you're saying. And that's because we are hardwired. And like, it's a kind of a psychology book. Like I told you last week, I kind of like them books. I don't think it's by saved, or I don't know if it's Christian. I can't remember, but it's good. So I made this real simple today for the men here. And I just want to look at 4 things to help us submit. Number 1, know the rule. So number 1, the rule. Okay, so these sub point are going to be the main point of the sermon today. So the rule, that is, what are you to do? Okay? Well, husband, you are commanded to submit in marriage as well. Now you say, before I go any further, husband may, say, we're supposed to practice submission as well. Yes. You say, well, where do you get that from? If you read verse 7, it doesn't really say anything about submission, not really. And so you're saying it's commanded. Well, how is it? Well, first of all, let's look at Peter. Okay, Peter here, in this verse, he says, likewise ye husbands, okay? All right, so obviously, he is making an announcement. And he's saying here, what he's saying is, husbands submit. He said, what, how? Well, when it says likewise, what does that mean? That means he's continuing what he's talking about. Okay, Robert Piccirilli said this. The grammatical construction is the same as the above in chapter 3, verse 1, or in chapter 2, verse 18, which are imperatives, that are participles, okay? So basically, this is the deal. Peter, when he says likewise, he's either referring back to chapter 3, verse 1, being a subjection, chapter 2, verse 17, honor all men, on chapter 2, verse 13, when he says, submit yourselves. So, it doesn't really matter exactly where he's going back to. The context, since verse 13 to now, has been submission. So he said, and basically what he said here, when he said, the citizen, you submit to the government. Slave, you submit to your master. And that's in verse 18. Then he goes to verse chapter 3 and verse 1. Wives, submit to your husband. And then when he gets to verse 7, he says, likewise. So according to Peter, in the context, what he's saying is that you as well are to submit. Okay? So that's what's happening. By the way, you say, well, I don't know if that convinces me. Well, it's a great thing that I am an argumentative person. Because that's how I think. So if that's not enough, let's look at the principle. Okay? That's the next thing, the principle. John MacArthur said this about verse 7. submission is the responsibility of each Christian husband as well. And refers to Ephesians 5:21. Remember, the Bible is a book of principle. What principle does Ephesians 5:21 teach us? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. All right, so here's the deal. Let's think for a minute, husbands. If we are to generally submit to each other, that means there's times when I'm supposed to submit to all of you. Okay, right? That's what he said. So that means if I'm supposed to submit to Brother Daryl there and as a Christian, then that applies to my wife as well, right? I would think so. So the principle here that we are to submit, and that applies to the husband in marriage. Well, you say you're still not convinced. That's okay. Number three, the practice. And we'll build this case later on in the sermon. In case you're sitting there and you say, I'm still not convinced that I'm supposed to submit in marriage, well, what is the command for the husband in Ephesians? It is to love your wife as yourself, right? Okay? Now, if you love your wife as yourself, what is that going to involve? Submission. There's no way around it. There's no way around if you love your wife as yourself that you are going to have to submit. Why? Well, number one, you have to submit to the Word of God. Because that didn't come natural. Loving someone else as yourself doesn't come natural. That's why it's wrote there, to remind us. If I'm in love to my wife as myself, that means that I'm going to have to do what she wants sometime, and we'll get to in a minute, that what she needs over what I want to do sometime. So that is submission in practice, okay? My point is this, and I want to refute the stupid thinking that the husband is to submit in marriage. Quite the opposite is true. Before we go any further, you have to understand, I'll build my case even further in just a minute. I want you to understand that as a husband, we are to submit in marriage as well. So, number one, we see the rule. But number two, let's look at the routine. Now we have here the routine. You may say, how do I submit? No, so we got the what. Now we're going to answer the question of how. How am I, as a husband, how am I to submit? Am I supposed to submit to her commands? And the answer is no. No. See, what people really said, that the husband is the leader, but the leader can certainly defer to the wife in the way show her honor and respect. Now, no, you don't. I was going to say it. You're not supposed to submit to her commands. You're supposed to submit to her needs. Okay, well, and I'm going to develop all this, so stay with me in case you're skeptical. Because it doesn't matter what you think, it matters what the Bible says. I mean, that's all that matters. So, you say, here's the routine. So here, letter A, understand the process. You said, what is the process? To demonstrate submission as a husband, you have to know the process, okay? There's two phrases in verse 7. The first one here, it says, dwell with them according to knowledge. You said, what does that mean? Well, the word dwell means to live with them. It means day-to-day relationship. As a husband and wife, that means that you're supposed to be around. You know, and you're supposed to be involved. And I think, because some of your husbands who are not at home, that we think that, well, as long as I'm in the house, that's good. I'm being a good husband. No, it goes further than that. You're supposed to dwell with them. You're supposed to live with them. You're supposed to, and do things with her. But but while you're there, you're supposed to do this. It says, dwell with them according to knowledge. So, first of all, here's the process. Number one, you got to be at home. You got to be at home, okay? But then while you're there, you got to know them. The word know means to understand. It indicates that a husband's life with his wife must be informed and guided by proper awareness of her condition. So the idea here that I'm in knowledge, I'm knowing her, I'm aware of her condition. Okay? That means, okay, so stay with me. One guy said, to live with your wife and demonstrate wisdom, suggest a deep understanding of your wife to get to know her more than a surface level. It suggests a sensitivity to her needs and a desire to respond to those needs knowledgeably. In other words, ready? In other words, let me make it real simple for you. You are to study your wife and understand her needs. Basically, that's why I say it's harder for a husband. Because all the wife had to do is just do what the husband said. The husband has to figure out what the wife needs. And that right there is hard enough, ain't it, Daryl? You know, got to understand them. And that right there, we're already doomed. We are to understand. That's what he said. We're supposed to understand. We're supposed to study. We study a lot of things, don't we? Study golf, fishing, hunting, football, offense, defense, special teams. But then we study our wives. And then we really sit up back and say, well, why is she doing what she's doing? Why is she saying that? We need to study. And then the second thing there is to give honor. We want to give honor. That's what it says there. So we're going to study them, giving honor unto the wife. Now the word honor or giving an honor used to mean giving or giving a payment. It meant a price or value. And later it meant respect. And so it's the idea that you value something. So here's the process. Y'all ready? Here's the process. The process for a husband is to study your wife and to truly understand them and understand their needs. Then, to value them as your most valued possession. Now, if you're doing that every day, what's going to be the result? You're going to be doing what's best for her, right? When making a decision, a husband, and to follow this process, we'll consider her thoughts, her feelings, and her needs. Now, you're right, the husband's in charge. The husband's in charge, and the wife needs to know that. And he's going to make this decision. But before he makes that decision, he's going to be studying her and say, well, you know, I want to do this, but what's best for her? What's her thought? What's her feeling? What's her needs? See, he's not going to submit to the commands of his wife, but her what? Her needs. Her needs. One writer said this. This sound, in many ways, it sounds like submission, although the language is different. It hints at a concept of mutual submission. And that's what it is. See, when you study your wife and you know her, you know, you're the one that, and your wife should let you make the decision. And when you make the decision, you're not making it just what you want. You're thinking about her the whole time. And thinking, what do I need to really do? What? Now, that's hard. It's hard to make what is best in this situation. So, if the husband needs to demonstrate submission to marriage, we need to know the process. Then, get a practice. Make it a practice. Now, what's interesting here, I said this about 3 weeks ago, the word giving and dwell are participles. That's an ongoing action. That are acting as imperatives in the Greek, okay? And if you understand, I said that a couple weeks ago. So, it is a command, but it's also a continuous action. It indicates a habit of life. So, we, as husbands, are every day to be valuing our wife. Every day, we are supposed to be trying to know what she needs and then submitting to that. No, the wife didn't say anything. The wife said, oh, yes, yes, ma'am. No. And so we get up, we're like, And she keeps saying, I really want a hamburger. So then you say, how? Well, you want to go get a hamburger? Yeah. And the whole time you want pizza. Okay? That's kind of the ideal. And then, you know what? Your wife have no problem submitting husbands to that command because you made the right decision. See? See how it works? See, she had no problem submitting to that because you studied her. It's all better. It's all easy on paper, by the way. It's all easy on paper. Here's the thing. The reason many husbands don't submit to the wife is because he doesn't know what she needs. And the reason many husbands don't know what she needs is because they don't value her. If you don't want to value your wife, then why did you get married? The same thing I did to the wife last week. If you don't want to submit to your husband, why did you get married? Same thing for the husband. If you don't want to value your wife, then why did you get married? For you to submit, you need to know the routine to submit. That is to practice the process of valuing and studying what she needs and then submitting to those needs. Let me explain both the husband and the wife right here in the illustration. The husband wakes up, the wife wakes up, the husband's in charge. He starts walking, the wife, gets behind and follows. They come to two doors, door A, door B. The wife simply taps him on the shoulder and said, I want you to choose. She's submitting right there to the husband's choice. I want you to choose. But before he chooses, he may want A. But he studies the situation, he studies her, and the whole time he's thinking, well, what does she want? And then he makes a decision based off what she needs. And then he makes his decision. So what happened? I put it this. Both submitted, the wife submitted to the husband's choice, and the husband submitted to the wife's needs. It's that simple. That's all it is. Now, both parties can take advantage of that. A wife like, get what I need. And both can manipulate. The husband say, I'm in charge. You can both manipulate it. But when both people are humbling themselves to God and each other, that's how it works. The husband submits to her need. The wife submits to his choice. But if the husband does what he needs, and here's the thing. If the husband makes the wrong choice, she still goes along because she loves him and respects him. If he makes if she exerts herself and goes along because he knows, well, I know that's what she needs. And I think not all of them get it perfect, but if both are mutually submitting, then you can easily slide on to the door. So, husband, for you to submit, you have to know the rule, what to do. Number two, you got to know the routine, how to do it. And third, you need to know the reason. Why? Why am I to do this? Why? Well, let's see here. Right here I put their position. Let's look here. And giving honor unto the wife and unto the weaker vessel. Okay, the phrase here, weaker vessel. And most of your women's rights, I can do anything. I'm not going to like to hear that. But the Bible says it. I didn't say it. Don't get mad at me. It says here that the woman's a weaker vessel. Now, what does that mean? And does it refer to intellectual, spiritually, or emotional? Okay, there's some women who are emotionally stronger than men, spiritually and intellectually. What does it mean? Well, in the context, number one, it means publicly. Women had no power whatsoever. So he said, hey, love your wife, honor her, because publicly she gets no recognition. That's not as true in America, but really, this is what it really means. Physically weaker. Women are physically weaker. And I know people get all upset about that. But you can take junior high boys, and they're equally talented. You can take junior high, now if you get like, a WNBA player, they could beat me in basketball, but that's not an equal comparison. But you can take junior high boys in basketball, and they can even beat a varsity girls team. Why? Because they're physically stronger. Bottom line, people don't like to hear that. I had a woman get mad at me when I told her that. She said, all varsity girls can beat the varsity boys, and they can't. No, they can't. I mean, even though talented girls can't, because boys are stronger, and usually more athletic. I mean, my cousin coached both girls and boys, and then there's things that girls can't do that boys can do. They're more athletic. Sorry. But here's the thing, why did he say that? Why was he stand? When someone is weaker, what do we usually do? It naturally compels us to be more caring, right? For example, my dad has chickens. And if one gets sick, and one gets picked on, he'll take that chicken, he'll put it in a separate box, and he'll put a light on it. He feeds it vitamin. He gives it more care because why? Because it's weaker. If a dog gets sick, you have the runt of the litter, and that one's struggling, you know what he does? We take that little dog, we make sure we bottle feed it. We give it more care. Why? Because it's weaker. When someone's sick, we give them more care. If there's five kids and one sick, who gets more attention? The one who's sick. Why? Because they're weaker. The same thing, the idea, we have no problem accepting that concept in life, but when it comes to a man, it's like, oh no. No, bottom line, the woman is physically weaker, and husband, we're supposed to see that and say, and know that, and by nature be compelled to do more for them. I mean, there's a book called Tender Warrior, by Stu Weber, and it's a Christian book, and he was in the army, he was like a Navy SEAL, and I think that book, he's talking about how that we men should view our wives as a porcelain bowl, something that's fragile, and we should handle it with tender and care. That's how we should see it. And that's when you say, hey, she's the weaker vessel. She's that porcelain bowl. And by the way, that's what most women desire. Most women desire the way God made us, by the way. God desired a woman to be a caretaker and to love and to nurse. I mean, I don't want to be ugly here, but a woman can actually feed a baby with her own body. A man can't. Why? Because God designed a woman to care and nurture and take care. And they want to be loved and they want somebody to be tender to them. And as husband, that's what he's saying. Because of their position, that's why we submit to her needs. The second reason is because they are our partner. And it says this, the weaker vessel and being heirs together of the grace of life. Now, there's some debate. Is that talking about the earthly partnership? Is that talking about spiritual partnership? I like what John MacArthur said because it's what I want to say. So, anyway, there's some debate. He said this, marriage is the best relationship earthly life has to offer. Now, I'll be honest, there's no relationship I have that's like my marriage relationship. And it's the best relationship that life has to offer. Well, if that's the most important relationship, the best relationship, then I should be concerned about my wife's needs. That's why I submit. That's why I do the routine. That's why I follow the rule, because of what she is. She's my partner, but she's not as strong as I am. All wives are a partner in the best earthly relationship. That's a person that I want to submit to in order to get the most out of that special relationship. To submit, we need to know the rule. We need to know the routine. We need to know the reason. And finally, we need to see the reward. And this is a second why. There is a reward for doing this, guys. Here's the claim. And it says this. That your prayers be not hindered. So what's the conclusion? Well, here's the negative. If you don't submit to your wife's needs, your prayers will be hindered. Here's a positive. If you learn the routine of practicing the process of valuing and knowing your wife's needs and then submitting to them, the reward is this. You will have an effective prayer life. If you are a saved husband, that should be a great reward. When my wife leaves to go to work, I pray that she has the safety of travel. I want to know that prayer is being effective. Don't you? When she's sick and I pray, I want that prayer to be effective. Well, it's not going to be effective, guys, if you're not submitting to her needs. Here's the conclusion. Men, we are to submit. Not to the commands of the wife, but to her needs. We submit by knowing the rule. We do that by knowing the routine. Study her, value her. We do that by knowing the reason. She is weaker and we ought to care for her. By the way, women have to there's some women who won't let you do that. So I think that may be something you have to key in on, you know. It's hard to open the door for a woman who won't let you, you know. Kind of, you know. I can do it. Okay. You know. We submit by knowing there is a reward, your prayer life. In conclusion, this week's sermon, submission is demonstrated by the husband and wife. Wife to the command, husband to the needs. Remember, wife, you will submit when you respect your husband. Husband will submit when they love their wife. And I go back to Ephesians 5:33. God said, you're commanding the wife to respect him, but husband, you're commanding to love her. If you love, you're going to submit to her. If you respect him, you're going to submit to him. Ain't it neat how the Bible just fits together? That's how you have a biblical marriage. And it all starts with submission. As the piano player comes up, why don't we stand to our feet with our heads bowed? And as you stand up, I want you just to think this morning. Whether you are a husband or a wife, you know, the last 2 weeks. Hey, maybe God spoke to you. By the way, even if you're not married, this idea of submission should be evident in every aspect of our life. That's what I'm talking about for the last 6 weeks, really. So as they begin to play here in just a minute, and God spoke to your heart, maybe you want to come down together. after the last 2 weeks. Maybe you want to pray together and ask God to help me. If you're like me, hey, and you need for me to preach this, then you need to practice this, okay? But hey, maybe you need to ask God to help you. Maybe you need to ask God to forgive. Maybe you've totally missed the mark. Maybe just now it's like a light bulb went off in your head. And they begin to play, that's you. I want to invite you to come.